Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to another episode of Thinking in English, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. What is coffee? Who was the first person to think of creating a drink from coffee beans? How did coffee spread from the forests of East Africa to almost every town on Earth? And what is the future of the coffee industry? Let's discuss these questions and more on today's episode of Thinking in English. You can find a full and free transcript for this episode over on my website, thinkinginenglish.blog. Here is today's vocabulary list. Brew. Brew. To prepare a beverage by extracting flavors from a substance through the use of hot water. As in, every morning I brew a fresh pot of coffee to start my day. Coffee beans. Coffee beans. The seeds of the coffee plant, often roasted and ground to make coffee. As in, I prefer to grind my own coffee beans for a fresher taste. Roast. Roast. To heat coffee beans at a high temperature, typically in an oven or over an open flame, in order to enhance flavor and aroma. For example, the coffee beans were carefully roasted to achieve a rich, dark flavor profile. Aroma. Aroma. A distinctive, usually pleasant smell, often associated with food or beverages. For example, the aroma of freshly brewed coffee filled the room. Consume. Consume. Eating food and drinking beverages. For example, after brewing a pot of coffee, I like to consume it slowly. Spread. Spread. To extend something over an area or among a group of people, often referring to the distribution of information, products, or practices. As in, the popularity of coffee spread rapidly throughout Europe. Let's start with a basic question. What is coffee? In English, we use the word coffee to refer to a few different things. First, coffee refers to the seeds or beans of the coffea plant. These beans are harvested, processed, and then roasted. Coffee, in the form of raw or unroasted or green beans, is a major economic commodity. It is one of the most traded, exported, and imported commodities in the world, and is bought, sold, and traded in major financial centres. Farming coffee is also a major industry in places including South America and parts of Africa and Asia. And there is an entire economy surrounding coffee, including distributions, sales, equipment, cafes, and more. Second, coffee is one of the most popular beverages or drinks in the world. Coffee is a brewed beverage prepared from roasted coffee beans. It is typically served hot, although it can be enjoyed cold or iced, and may be consumed black or with additions such as milk, cream, sugar, or flavorings. There is no one single description of how coffee tastes. Depending on factors like the variety of bean, growing conditions, roasting method, and how the beverage is made, the flavour of coffee can change dramatically. One of my favourite cafes in Tokyo offers something on their menu called the Three Peaks. They take the same coffee beans, but prepare them in three different ways. I think as an espresso shot, a pour over coffee, and a macchiato, so a coffee with milk. Despite being made from the same beans and the same water, each cup tastes completely different. It really blew my mind the first time I tried it. Three terms often used to measure or describe the taste of coffee are acidity, body, and flavors or flavor notes. Coffee can vary from vibrant and fruity to mellow and balanced. It can range from light and delicate to full-bodied and creamy. Coffee can exhibit a wide array of flavor notes, including fruity, floral, nutty, chocolatey, spicy, earthy, or herbal nuances. There are over 100 distinct types of coffee beans. However, the vast majority of coffee drunk around the world is made from just two varieties, Arabica and Robusta. Arabica beans are the most common type of coffee in most places. Arabica is known for smooth and nuanced flavors, low acidity, and aroma. Arabica is usually grown in places high above sea level where there is a lot of rain, such as Brazil, which exports the most Arabica beans. The other popular variety is Robusta. Robusta beans are more robust, hence the name. They are known for a strong taste, sometimes harsh flavor, and a very high level of caffeine. Sometimes Robusta coffees can be bitter and earthy, or even taste a little burnt. Therefore, it's not as popular as Arabica coffee, and is usually found in cultures that love strong coffee, or used in cheaper instant coffees. Both Arabica and Robusta beans undergo a series of processing steps after harvesting, including drying and roasting, which significantly influences the final flavor and aroma of the brewed coffee. I don't want to talk too much on how to prepare coffee, but there are three main steps. First is roasting. This is where the raw coffee is roasted to reduce the moisture in the beans and enhance the flavors. Roasting levels vary from light to dark, with each level completely changing the character of the coffee. Next is brewing. This is how the flavors are extracted from the beans using water. Common brewing methods include drip brewing or pour over, where water is poured on top of coffee, espresso extraction, where hot water is forced through coffee at pressure, French press, where coffee is, I guess, surrounded by water for a few minutes, or more modern techniques like the aeropress. Once brewed, the coffee has to be served. Coffee is often enjoyed black or with additions such as milk and sugar. It can be served hot, cold, or even blended into specialty beverages like lattes and cappuccinos and frappes. So now we know a little about coffee, I think we should discuss the history of this world-famous beverage. The coffea plant is native to the forests of Ethiopia in East Africa. According to legend, a goat herder in Ethiopia named Kaldi noticed his goats became lively and energetic after eating the red berries from the coffea trees. Intrigued by this, Kaldi tried the berries himself and experienced a surge of energy. Kaldi apparently mentioned his discovery that these berries could give you energy to a local monk. The monk threw the berries in the fire and then, after realizing they smelled nice, took the roasted beans out, which were the insides of the berry. They further experimented, using the beans to make some kind of drink, which could keep them up at night. There is another version of this myth, which suggests that Yemen had a role in the discovery of coffee. This version suggests a Yemeni person was traveling through Ethiopia, tried the berries from the coffea plant, and realized it gave him energy. However, it is more likely that Ethiopians discovered the uses of the coffea berries first. It is thought that coffee spread first through Ethiopia, where the practice of roasting the beans and brewing them with water was developed. The beans spread around the region and became especially popular across the Red Sea in the region of Yemen. This was probably around the 15th century, so about 600 years ago. And by the 16th century, coffee was being grown in Arabia. The popularity of coffee in the region soon caught the attention of travellers and traders from neighbouring regions, who introduced coffee to Persia, the Ottoman Empire or modern Turkey, and North Africa. By the 15th century, coffee had become popular across the region and became an important part of Arabian and Middle Eastern culture. Coffee houses began to be founded. The first was in the city of Constantinople, now known as Istanbul in modern-day Turkey, and became places where people gathered to engage in discussions and enjoy the company of friends. Europeans, travelling through the Ottoman Empire in particular, were intrigued by coffee. They were curious about its effects and began to import it to Western Europe. Traders from Venice were the first to bring coffee to Italy, and the first European coffee house opened in 1645 in Venice. Initially, the drink was met with skepticism and suspicion due to its unfamiliarity. But coffee gradually gained acceptance as coffee houses were established in major European cities. England, for example, quickly developed a liking for coffee. This might surprise you, as England is known as a tea-drinking culture. But coffee was popular way before tea. Coffee houses popped up in university towns like Oxford, as well as across London. They became places of academic discussion and meetings. Scientists and intellectuals would gather at coffee houses, debate each other, share their research, and learn new things. It allowed people from different backgrounds to share knowledge. In fact, one of the most important scientific books ever written, Isaac Newton's Principia, was apparently conceived in a coffee house. The story goes that in a London coffee house, three respected intellectuals, including Edmund Halley, the astronomer who gave his name to Halley's Comet, and Christopher Wren, the architect who designed many of London's most famous buildings, were discussing planets. They were talking about the shape of a planet's orbit or journey around the sun under specific conditions, and they were unconvinced by certain theories and pieces of research. After discussions in the coffee house, Edmund Halley decided to travel to Cambridge University to talk with a young mathematician called Isaac Newton. After hearing the problem, Newton immediately answered the question and revealed he had proved this complex problem in his spare time already, but never bothered to tell anyone. Newton wrote a short paper about this problem, which eventually led him to writing the Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy, or the Principia, which includes Newton's laws of motion and theory of gravity. Coffee also spread across the rest of Europe, to France, Austria, Spain, and the German states. As Europeans began to love coffee and want to drink it more often, they needed regular supplies. Coffee can't be grown in Europe, as it needs a tropical climate, so the Europeans took coffee to their colonies to grow. The climate and soil conditions in parts of South America, such as Brazil, Colombia, and Central America, meant these areas became massive coffee producers. The Dutch also took coffee to their colonies in Asia, including Indonesia, which is today also a large coffee producer. Today, coffee is more than just a beverage. It is a cultural phenomenon with a global reach. from specialty coffee shops and mass market chains like Starbucks to the offices and living rooms around the world, coffee can be found in nearly every aspect of modern society. Coffee production is a billion-dollar industry, with millions of farmers around the world growing coffee on small family farms or large plantations. Coffee is a major driver of economic development in many coffee-producing countries, providing livelihoods and careers for millions of people. And coffee consumption is on the rise globally. Consumers are enjoying drinking coffee in more ways. People are living in urban centres like cities, which are full of coffee shops. And coffee culture is growing. It is enjoyed as a morning ritual, a midday pick-me-up, or a social activity. And it's just part of many people's daily lives. I usually start my day by grinding some coffee beans I buy from a local coffee shop, and then use a pour-over coffee kit to make myself some delicious coffee. And I write a lot of Thinking in English episodes in coffee shops. The past few decades have also witnessed the development of the specialty coffee movement. This is a coffee movement which prioritizes quality and sustainability in coffee. Specialty coffee roasters and cafes focus on sourcing high-quality beans, promoting direct trade relationships with farmers, and creating beverages with unique flavors. I never liked coffee when I was young. I grew up only knowing about instant coffee in the UK, which always tasted burnt and bitter. It was only during the pandemic years when I started watching a creator on YouTube called James Hoffman, that I learned how delicious and complex coffee can be. And coffee culture is still developing. New ways to brew coffee are constantly being developed, and new equipment invented to allow individuals to make delicious drinks at home. The flavors of coffee are also being used in foods and sweets, and attracting whole new audiences to coffee. So, what is the future of coffee? The honest answer is that coffee drinking as we know it today is at risk. There are two big challenges facing the coffee industry: climate change and sustainability. Climate change and global warming is threatening to disrupt coffee growing regions, with rising temperatures, strange rainfall patterns, and increasing risks of diseases and insects. Coffee can't be grown everywhere. It needs specific climates. As the climate changes, the places growing coffee today may struggle to continue in the future. And if the coffee industry is to continue growing, it needs to deal with sustainability issues. Problems like deforestation, cutting down trees, lack of water, poor quality soils, and badly treated workers means that the industry may be at risk in the future. However, there are some promising innovations. Advances in genetic research could help develop coffee varieties that are more resilient to climate change, diseases, and are capable of producing high-quality beans under all environmental conditions. Sustainable farming practices are also being developed. These include organic farming and regenerative agriculture, which aim to make sure the ecosystem is healthy and can continue to grow coffee long term. There will also be developments in how coffee is drunk or enjoyed in the future. In recent years, alternative brewing methods have become more common. Traditional ways to make coffee include using espresso machines, moka pots, or pour-over or drip coffee systems. But today, things like cold brew, nitro coffee, or coffee pods have also become wildly popular. And it's up to us to guess what's going to be invented in the future. I think that the future will also see new ways to flavour coffee and create beverages including coffee. Now, I like black coffee, made using high-quality beans through a pour-over, which is very popular here in Japan. But I didn't always. I first started drinking coffee at university when I had to study late at night. My university library had a Starbucks inside, so I would order a vanilla or caramel latte and add sugar. It was incredibly sweet, but it masked the coffee flavor. Over time, I began to like the coffee flavor. I no longer needed the sweet flavorings, and eventually I no longer needed milk either. Instead, I want high-quality beans to provide flavors. And I think millions more people will have similar journeys to me, and will begin with the sweet and creative coffees being served by chains like Starbucks. But over time, they may develop into people like me who enjoy high-quality beans sourced from sustainable farms made using traditional methods. But who knows what the future holds? So here is today's final thought. Coffee is more than just a beverage. It's a global phenomenon with deep connections to different cultures, economies, and our personal lives. From its origins in Ethiopia's forests to its widespread popularity today, coffee has developed into a multi-billion dollar industry, driving economic development worldwide. However, the future of coffee faces significant challenges, particularly from climate change and sustainability issues. Hopefully, promising innovations in fields like genetics could help save coffee. And as new brewing methods and ways of drinking coffee emerge, the beverage will continue to be a popular and important drink worldwide. But what do you think? Do you like coffee? How do you drink coffee? Is there a special way of making coffee in your country, region, or culture? Let me know by leaving a comment. You can comment on Spotify, comment on the Thinking in English transcript over on my blog. There's a link in the description. Or you can reach out to me on Discord or Patreon if you subscribe over there. If you haven't already followed Thinking in English on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do that. You can also go over to YouTube and listen and subscribe on YouTube. And please leave a rating on Spotify and Apple. I would love to have as many 5-star ratings as possible. Thank you all so much, and I'll speak to you next time. Goodbye.